welcome to the May 7th edition of This Week in Virtualization, the weekly news podcast from SearchServerVirtualization.com. This Week in Virtualization, we speak with Microsoft's Director of Integrated Virtualization Strategy, David Greshler. I'm Site Editor Colin Steele.
And I'm News Director Alex Barrett.
Alex got to speak with David Greshler this week and talk at length about Microsoft's long-term strategies in server virtualization, desktop virtualization, and the cloud. So let's get right into their conversation.
What I want to start out with is, you know, some common complaints or criticisms of Hyper-V, where it stands today, and how those might get addressed in the future. One that I hear a fair amount, and probably not so much from pure Microsoft shops, but from more heterogeneous shops, is that Hyper-V, you know, to this day still supports a relatively limited number of operating systems. And I was curious what kind of commitment Microsoft has towards expanding that number, or whether, you know, you want to focus on the core enterprise OSs out there.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think that's one of the greatest misconceptions that are out there around our lack of support for, you know, other operating systems. And, I think that's actually true both on the hypervisor as well as on the management level. And, I can see why it's a misconception, because we're Microsoft, we're so closely associated with Windows. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we've done, you know, made arrangements with, Red Hat, with Novell, to make sure that when people do run those operating systems on Hyper-V, it isn't just that they run. And, you know, frankly, I'll say, if you look at VMware, yes, they have this huge list of a lot of operating systems that run, but where's the support behind that? Well, you know, we don't like to just say it runs. We like to make sure that when we say it runs, you know, and you've got a problem, you've got a protocol to get that support. So, the arrangements we made with Novell, with Citrix, with Red Hat, are all tied to the idea that if you're running this operating system and something goes wrong, you've got a line to call so that you can get an answer. And whether that means, you know, going to Red Hat or discovering that, hey, the problem isn't there, but it's rather at the Hyper-V level so that you'll be able to get support from Microsoft, we've worked that out. So, you know, we really, if you look at the list, it's a smaller list, but it's a much richer list because it's a list that says these are supported operating systems. And that isn't just for Windows. It's also for a lot of those different versions of Linux and so on, and Unix. So, I feel like it's this misconception. And it's, you know, take that over to management for a second. If you look at what we've done with management, with System Center, we have been very clear. You know, we want to make System Center the manager of managers. We want it to be a product that's used in the enterprise, and we understand that if it's going to be used in the enterprise, people are going to have more than just Windows out there. So if you look at our latest version of Operations Manager and a lot of the management packs that go along with it, it allows you to drill down to the same level of detail with Linux as it does with Windows or Unix. And the whole idea there, again, is the ability for you to not only, you know, through Operations Manager, understand that it's a VM running, but actually drill in there, see that it's, let's say, Linux, drill in there and actually see what applications are running within that operating system so that you can, you know, tie it to all the features that Operations Manager has around alerts and monitoring and health and so on. So, especially in the management area, we are investing very much in making sure that not just Windows, but all key operating systems are supported. And again, I think as we think about virtualization, you know, the hypervisor is a critical part, but management is the center of gravity. Management is where you really unlock the value of this, you know, sort of great benefit that virtualization offers. And we really are investing on both sides, both at the hypervisor and with management, to make sure that it's more than just a Windows-centric world. Because we understand that that's, you know, if you're going to have a hypervisor, people are going to run more than one operating system.
So that being said, you mentioned Red Hat, you mentioned Novell. Is Microsoft in discussion with other Linux distribution vendors to add support full-fledged support going forward, or is that door closed at this point?
So there's never a closed door here. You know, I mean, we always are trying to make sure that our customers, you know, what we hear from our customers and the distributions that are out there are supported. So we've worked with a number of distributors to make sure, Linux distributors, to make sure that that we're going to support them over time. So no, there's no closed door. We're always open to that.
All right. And the other major sort of argument that seems to go on in terms of Hyper-V is, Hyper-V is cheaper than VMware. And then VMware comes back and says, well, yes, it may be free, but, you know, we present higher consolidation ratios. And then Microsoft comes back and says, well, yes, but you can only present higher consolidation ratios if you use these technologies like memory overcommit, for example, that are, not in the mainstream, and back and forth and tit for tat. And I'm just curious, do you, David, see any validity to VMware's claims that of VM per host consolidation ratios and that they're better?
I think there's no doubt that if you can put more VMs on a single host, you're going to be more effective, right? That issue will go away very soon. Stay tuned on that, but certainly. I think, as many people know, the next version of Hyper-V will have those features in it. So that goes away. I think the cost issue is much bigger, though, than sort of this amount of memory versus that amount of memory. I think when you look at cost, it's really, in many ways, certainly the software license, and I think there we're very clearly more cost-effective, and not just because it's part of the operating system that you've already purchased, but because of the management costs. I mean, if you look at the cost of System Center and our licensing around System Center, and the fact that it's really per physical host with an unlimited number of VMs running inside, that's also significantly less than VMware's costs. And the fact of the matter is that because our management can do both virtual but also physical, and VMware can only do virtual, there's a whole other set of benefits you're getting that often is not part of that calculation. I think that's another key piece. But to me, the biggest piece is the sort of the ongoing cost. And I think, really what's there is that it comes down to sort of our view of virtualization versus VMware's, which is that VMware's view is, that's sort of, the end-all, right? And that virtualization is this specialty. We believe, just like networking, internet and web servers and all that, whenever something new is new, sure, it's a specialty. Whenever it gets to a certain mainstream, it becomes basically just another skill. And our view is that over time, virtualization is a skill. It's an important skill. In many ways, it's a very strategic skill, and I hope we'll get to talk about why we think virtualization really leads you to a new strategy. But it is a skill, and over time, the people who you have already trained to run your infrastructure, running Windows Server, whether it's 2003 or 2008, eventually, will and have already in many ways sort of have virtualization as just part of their toolkit. And so having to have a separate group, having to have a separate sort of, set of people who are only focused on the virtualization part is a very costly endeavor. Again, our view is if you know Windows, you'll know virtualization. You don't have to have that specialty. It will be a skill that will be part of a much broader portfolio that people have. And I think that, and the fact that it ties into all your existing infrastructure is really where a significant part of the cost savings are. It's sometimes hard to capture that, but it's certainly a key part of that.
So clearly, Microsoft is putting a lot of emphasis on virtualization, and it has a really compelling cost proposition and integration proposition for its customers. But you're not charging for it, and this is one of the things that's always sort of eluded me is. So I understand why your virtualization is good for the customer. I've never really fully understood why it's so important for Microsoft to offer a product or a technology that it isn't deriving revenue from.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. I'll tell you why. First of all, we are deriving revenue from it because it is, you know, part of Windows Server 2008, and it's one of the reasons why people will choose to upgrade to Windows Server 2008. So it is a tremendous feature of the operating system, you know, and obviously our role is to constantly innovate. And so going from, you know, Server 2003 to 2008, you've got to put, you know, reasons for customers to want to buy these new products. And so virtualization is absolutely one of the key reasons people are buying it. So, you know, I think it's important to note that we do benefit from obviously putting it into our product. But there's a broader issue there, and it gets back to the comparison I made earlier around networking. Virtualization really, in many ways, is this key strategic technology that really opens up a whole new world. And, you know, on a more tactical level, it certainly helps our customers reduce their costs, right? We know the story of virtualization, whether it's server consolidation, you know, making business continuity more accessible, and things along those lines. I mean, people are clearly gaining tangible ROI and benefits from that technology. And as a result, you know, I think that's certainly one, you know, sort of, you know, reason why we want to offer this technology, because it just makes their life easier and it makes the cost of Windows and IT in general better, more cost effective. So certainly that's a you know, a key part of why we want to get this technology out there and make it as pervasive as possible, just like we did with networking. We understood that networking led to all wonderful kind of things, including the internet and so on. And so same applies here with virtualization. But even more importantly is really the fact that this does provide the foundation for what we see really as the next stage in computing, which, you know, people are calling these days cloud computing. And as you know, we've been making a number of investments in that area. One is with our Azure product, which is a public cloud product, which of course is, you know, a way for people to be able to host new deployments, new applications in this public cloud that they don't even have to own the infrastructure for. But what virtualization does is it allows people to create a similar sort of scalable environment inside their data center and with hosters. And so, you know, what we really see virtualization eventually leading to is the ability for people to have this sort of single infrastructure that allows them to move their workloads between their on-site hosters and the public cloud. And we're working very hard to make sure that over time, people will be able to move between all three types with, you know, little to no disruption. And you know, increase their flexibility, their scalability, and their elasticity. And so, at the end of the day, that's, you know, we think that virtual, just like networking, sort of allowed for all these tremendous innovations with the internet and so on. We think virtualization is going to allow our customers to really get into this, easily step into this cloud computing environment.
So, and so those three types being the internal data center, the hoster in the public cloud,
yeah.
Mentioned? Okay. All right. And then, and that kind of leads me to another question I had. So your title is, at least it was, Director of Integrated Virtualization Strategy. So what's the integrated refer to? Is that desktop, server, cloud, or is it, what is it?
It continues to grow. Mm-hmm. I think when, you know, I first started 4 years ago here, you know, it was really about just tying together some of the core pieces, management, you know, Hyper-V, and then understanding how application virtualization, which is where I had come from, and terminal services, you know, now called remote desktop services, can all play together. So sort of, you know, taking these, what most people saw as separate technologies, and having people understand that if you think of them as all these, as all of them effectively, you know, creating isolation and separation from the process from which they were processing, it allows you to sort of open up this new world. So, you know, initially it was that. Obviously, over time, people have begun to understand that, wow, you have all these different layers of isolation with virtualization, and now we're beginning to understand that this leads us to this whole new model and paradigm of computing, which is called cloud computing. So my job changes along with, you know, how technology is embraced, and then obviously as we innovate at Microsoft to think about where our products are heading.
Now, I see, I understand the intellectually that justification, but I guess when I talk to people in the field, it seems like we're, you know, still not anywhere near that, that there's still a really differentiation between the data center folks doing server consolidation with virtualization, the desktop and the, you know, desktop support people, and then the developers that are looking at cloud. How do we get to, you know, the vision that you're talking about, given where we are today?
Well, you know, it takes time. And, you know, certainly, well, let's talk about desktop, because I think that's probably one where, you know, the innovations happening on the, that have happened on the server and the benefits that many, many people have reaped on the server are now beginning to be understood by the desktop people. And some of them are being pressured by the server people who have been sold sort of this concept of VDI. You know, and have been told that, well, you're running workload, you know, you're running server workloads on this hypervisor, why not run desktop workloads on this hypervisor? Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a you know, much more complex problem than just moving a desktop from, you know, an installed machine over to a server. And that's where the desktop people clearly understand the subtleties of this. And so, but I think, you know, what's happened is that, you know, the desktop team have always been thinking about ways to, you know, be able to sort of make desktops more available, you know, make desktops more agile, reduce the break fix problems that exist there. And, you know, initially they saw some technologies like terminal services and remote desktop services, like app virtualization. And now they're looking at VDI. And I think that, you know, there's this slow recognition among the desktop administrators that, yes, you know, virtualization can absolutely help. Now, how do you link that up with what's happening in the server world? How do you link that up with what's happening in the cloud? It's a step-by-step process. I will tell you this. One of the things, you know, I really believe when it comes to desktop, Microsoft, you know, has been and continues to really be the leader in this space. If you look at what we've done with, you know, System Center Configuration Manager, we've been out there. We clearly, you know, more people use Configuration Manager to manage their desktops than any other product out there by far. And you know, if you look at what we're announcing next in the next version, and there is a beta coming out in Q2 of this. We are coming up with a product that is absolutely leveraging virtualization. We call it User Device Affinity, and it's basically the idea that administrators can create rules and deliver desktops and applications to people depending on what device they're connecting to. So, you know, if you're at home and you need to access an application, you know, it will now... and if this is not your primary machine, it will now, you know, based on rules, be able to deliver it to you, you know, virtually. It'll be able to deliver it to you, you know, using terminal services. So there's, you know, the flexibility that virtualization provides is something that we're absolutely embracing and putting into our products. You know, again, as people start looking at VDI as another way to deliver a desktop, making sure that that's part of our solution as well.
And what about the inverse? What about technologies that were delivered or developed for the desktop bubbling up into the server virtualization world? Do you see any movement there?
Well, that's a good question. It turns out that you know, application virtualization, which we developed for the desktop because it solved a lot of issues on the desktop, is now a technology that we're putting into our server offering. And if you look at the next version of Virtual Machine Manager, it will include the ability to be able to virtualize an application And that's different than wrapping a virtual machine around that application. What that means is taking an application and, taking all its configurations, in the case of server applications also, it's all its dependent applications, right? Because no server application is generally just a one app process. It's tied to, databases and other applications. So being able to lift and encapsulate that app and all its dependent applications and be able to move it around without installing it to the operating system, just as we do on the desktop. We call that application virtualization for server, and that is something we actually demonstrated at Microsoft Management Summit just 2 weeks ago. And it's a technology that, came from the desktop, but is now being applied to the server because we saw a lot of benefits from the desktop. So, big picture here, and I know that, people tend to, sometimes underestimate, Microsoft's commitment or investment or innovation in this space. But, if you listen closely and beyond all the sort of the hype and the, he said, she said, Microsoft is really, we are really grabbing and taking hold of this, what virtualization offers. And certainly on the server side, like I said, with dynamic memory, we're going to be there soon enough. And so in many ways, that hypervisor conversation, really we're at par. On the desktop, we're absolutely ahead. I mean, with Configuration Manager, we've been there for 15 years, and we are building products that take in virtualization. But more broadly, what's interesting is that we've also innovated dramatically in the cloud computing area. I mean, Azure didn't come out of nowhere. We've been working on that for years, and it's available today. And what we're doing, which no other vendor can offer, is the ability, creating the ability for you to be able to move between these different clouds, seamlessly. In fact, at Microsoft Management Summit, the last thing we showed at Bob Muglia's keynote was Operations Manager, right? And the ability, and this is a management pack that's coming out in the next 3 or 4 months, the ability from a single pane of glass to see a workload working on your on-premise data center, workloads running in a hosted environment, and workloads running in Azure. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, that more than anything captures our view and our strategy, which is that, we believe at the end of the day, people are going to want to be able to use all different types of environments. And so what we want to do is give them the management across the board and also, of course, the infrastructure and the tools to be able to move between those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I guess I had one final question, and it's more directed towards Microsoft, the application provider, rather than Microsoft, the OS and the virtualization provider. And basically, when it comes right down to it, it's all about the apps, right? And
yep.
I wanted to ask you, so one of your competitors, Oracle in particular, has drawn a lot of tension and ire in the virtualization space by not supporting its applications on hypervisors other than its own Oracle VM. And it seems like Microsoft has taken a different stance on that, and that you do support your applications on third-party hypervisors. But I was wondering if that's, is Microsoft committed to continuing to do that, and to, do your customers have the assurance that going forward you will always support SQL Server Exchange or what have you on VMware or Citrix or Oracle VM for that matter?
Sure. So we absolutely take the opposite view than Oracle because, again, people count on us to not as just an app provider, but an infrastructure provider, and we can't, block or keep out other people. So what we've done is we actually have a third-party hypervisor certification program that VMware has been part of, Citrix has been part of, others have been part of, where we effectively, certify that Windows 2008 is running on top of those hypervisors and is, can be supported. So, we definitely are not taking the attitude that says, hey, you can only run our specific hypervisor to be able to run our apps. And it goes back to our approach, which says, whether it's on the infrastructure side or the management side, we understand that people are going to run more than Windows. And if we're going to be in the hypervisor business, we've got to make sure that people feel free that they can run more than Windows on Hyper-V.
That was our news director, Alex Barrett, talking with Microsoft's David Greshler. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for tuning in to This Week in Virtualization.